Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 46 for our second reading. Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and shield, and draw near to battle. Harness the horses, and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish the spears, and put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed, and turned away back? And their mighty ones are beaten down, for they are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall forward the north, fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land, for the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph, and in Tahpanhes, and say, stand fast and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another. And they said, arise, and let us go again to our own people and to the land of our nativity from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh, it cometh out of the north. Also her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand, because the day of their calamity was come upon them and the time of their visitation. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt, with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh, and all them that trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The thesis of the chapter is pretty clear. The thesis has to do with, Egypt, you're feeling your oats. You're thinking that you're something in the world. You're thinking that perhaps Necho, seeing that you've gone out and you have been victorious at Carchemish and you have overcome Josiah, king of Judah, and now you have gone forth and done exploits, that you think it good of yourself to say, I will take on Nebuchadnezzar, I will take on Babylon, and all you're going to do is stir him up, and you will fall at the river Euphrates, and then Nebuchadnezzar will chase you all the way home and will take your house from you there. This is essentially what the chapter says to Egypt. And then the Lord says to Babylon, because they also have been oppressors, like he said to Assyria of old, once I've done my work with you, I will judge you. And then he turns to Israel at the end of the chapter, and he says, but I'm going to protect you. So it is interesting, isn't it, that here's this little teeny nation that has been taken captive, that has fled to Egypt for comfort, that now what has happened is these two ancient titans have risen up to fight Egypt and Babylon. And they will fight, and they will fight, and they will destroy, and Egypt will be completely destroyed, and Babylon will be wounded, and yet at the same time, the Lord will protect and keep safe his little nation from being destroyed in the midst of that struggle. So that's really what the chapter is about. Now, we know that there's more backstory than that, don't we? Because what we heard, not in chapter 45, but in the week before that, we heard the conversation that took place between Jeremiah and Jonathan, the son of Kareah. Remember him, who said, sorry, Jeremiah, we're not going to listen to you anymore. We're going to go to Egypt. You're going to come with us. And the Lord said, when you get there, make sure that you dig in the dirt around Pharaoh's gate and you hide some bricks there by his brick kiln. And then when they ask you, what are you doing? Here's what you say. You say to them, if you think these stones are safe because they're hidden from Nebuchadnezzar, you should not think that, because he will come into these gates and he will tear everything down. So with that then, we come to chapter 46, and we know why then suddenly, and we say suddenly because we're coming upon this from the divine perspective. Of course, any historians or geopoliticians that are alive at that day, they're going to have their newspaper articles about all of it. They're going to be able to tell you what the political machinations are between this nation and that nation and this emissary and that emissary, and how these negotiations have broken down and how these treaties have been violated and so on and so forth. Because the Lord does work intimately in the affairs of men. But here what we're getting is, we're not getting the newspaper version. We're getting God's own interpretation of these events. And God's own interpretation of these events are, children of Israel, children of Judah, you did not do what I told you to do, to be taken captive and go to Babylon and buy and sell and marry and give in marriage and pray for the peace of that city until your return. But rather, you fled and did exactly what I told you not to do, and that was you fled to Egypt for protection, so you trust in that broken reed in Pharaoh instead of me. So I'm going to take him away from you. I don't want you to trust on Pharaoh. I don't want you to put your confidence in him, and so he will be taken away. You have simply painted a target on the nation of Egypt by trusting in them. Because I care for you, because I love you, because my heart is tender before you, I will take away all your other idols and props and all of those things that you have put in place of me. Now, this is a principle that we see all throughout Scripture. This is not just here. We see it in Asa, in good King Asa, who had some good things found in him, who took away the idols out of the land, who rid the land of the Sodomites. And yet, at the end of his life, what happened? He was lame in his feet, and he trusted to the doctors and not to the Lord. The Lord says, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. It's not going to work to trust in means. It's not going to work to trust in things other than the Lord. Actually, trusting even in lawful means, according to LC 105, is a sin. And so we must turn away even from trusting in lawful means. So the people of Israel thought that they could go and find shelter under the shade of the king of Egypt, under Pharaoh. And what they found out is that the Lord will take away all of those competitors to his rightful place in our own hearts. And this is loving. It is kind. It is salutary. And we need to remember that, because often we do forget it, don't we? So in the first part of the chapter then, and I have that as verses 1 through 11, the Lord had told them never, never to go back to Egypt. You have come out of Egypt. That represents deformation and not reformation, to go back to Egypt. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, can we just say it that way? Can we just think of our own selves and say, we're not going to deform in our understanding of our religion. We're going to continue, the Lord's grace helping us, the project of reformation instead. Where those pockets of rebellion in our minds are being pushed out, one by one, little by little, and more by more. Instead of thinking that we're going to take back to ourselves former sins and live in them, as the people said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 44, where they said, it was better for us when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, so we're going back to that, right? No, we want to move forward. Egypt represented a step backward for the people of God, and so the Lord said, I'm going to take that away from you instead. We must remember how that, if you were looking at this in a standard and geopolitical way, you would pile it up like this. You'd say, well, Nebuchadnezzar, that's a pretty formidable force. They beat the Assyrians, so they've got a pretty good history. But can they stand up against Pharaoh and his army? And I hope you heard all of the other people that joined in with Egypt, the Libyans, the Ethiopians, the Lydians. So pretty much all of North Africa and East Africa have allied themselves with Egypt in this campaign. The only thing they have against them is that they have to go a long way for the fight. They have to go to Euphrates. But notice what Pharaoh says about that. That'll be no trouble. I'll be like the river. I'm going to overflow my banks and I'm going to cover the land. I won't have any difficulty with that. And if you take a look at the size of their forces there and those four nations that have been allied together, peoples from all over the continent of Africa today, we call it that, there are probably in excess of 1 million that have gone to war. Yet, the Lord says, because my people have looked to Egypt for help It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how big you are. And it doesn't matter how many nations have allied with you. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter who we make our alliances with. If we're not making our alliances with the Lord, we will fall and we will be defeated. So then we have Nebuchadnezzar spoken of in the second portion of the chapter, and how the Lord is going to grant to him the victory, and during this struggle of titans, how the Lord will protect his people, even though, and we'll close with this, what does it say in the end? I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet I will not leave thee wholly unpunished. What a wonderful and fatherly thing for the Lord to say to his people when they've been so very rebellious against him and deformed and gone back to the Queen of Heaven and gone back to the flesh pots of Egypt instead of calling upon his name. All right, thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 46.